tattoos and anesthesia. I don't have any tattoos, so I can't speak to the tattoo experience, but I want to lean on you guys at 651-461-9226 that have had a tattoo, that are into tattoos, to speak on whether you would pay thousands of dollars to have anesthesia with regards to getting your tattoo. Now, it sounds like this is a new phenomenon. I never heard this before seeing the story. But when I think of people getting tattoos, I think of the image that I have in my head, because I've never been in a tattoo shop and watched a friend or family member or anybody get a tattoo. But the image that I have is that they are there with the tattoo artist, okay, the person that's doing the work, and they are going to get what they want to get accomplished. The artistry of it all, the memory, because a lot of people will get tattoos in memory of a loved one or a specific, you know, their favorite thing or whatever they want to get. But there's going to be a level of discomfort, okay, because it doesn't look like tattoos are they look a little painful, okay?
I mean, they're drawing on your body with a needle.
Yes. So I don't expect, and people can speak to this if you want to call in or text, because I never had one, and I'm never going to get one. I don't anticipate getting one. I'll put it like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not a tattoo guy, okay? I'm not a tattoo guy. I don't have any tattoos on my body. It's never been my thing. Have I ever dated anybody with a tattoo? I've never been in a serious relationship with anybody with a tattoo. But that's beside the point. The point is this. When I think of the experience from what you see imagery-wise, you think of a person that's in a chair, in a seat, on a whatever, and they're enduring the pain.
Yep.
Because of what they want to get put on their body. Okay? I've never heard of people being given tattoos under general anesthesia. It sounds weird, and it's actually the practice itself is controversial. It's new, but it's controversial. And if not done seriously or done under proper medical guidance, it's dangerous. This January that just passed, an influencer reportedly died at the age of 45 after going under general anesthesia for a tattoo over in Brazil.
Mm.
Anybody out there think that this is a good idea or just something that should not be done in the art and the work of getting a tattoo? 651-461-9226. Like, how does that even work? Because these are shops.
Yeah, I assume that
it's not a medical setup.
No, but I would assume that you would have to have a licensed anesthesiologist.
Sure.
There.
Are you sure?
I mean, if you don't have a licensed anesthesiologist and, you know, Wilfred is going to be the one that's going to put it over. I mean, no, I no offense to anybody out there named Wilfred. I'm sure you're lovely people. I don't want you putting a gas mask over my, you know, and putting me night-night. I would think as long as it's regulated, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I wouldn't, because some people don't have a high tolerance level for pain, but they want the tattoo, but they don't want the pain. But it hasn't been a thing so far. So I'm just wondering why it's now.
Is it part of getting a tattoo the experience of getting the tattoo, of laying there and the person's giving you the tattoo and you're talking to them about the tattoo and there's the connection between you and the artist? It isn't just I go to sleep and you draw my body.
But there may be some people that they don't want that. Like,
That's not what getting a tattoo is.
Well, the tattoo is about getting something on your body that is going to mean something to you, that is going to be a personal, you know, part of you for the rest of your life. I mean, the getting the tattoo, I don't have a tattoo either. My wife has got a tattoo. I've been in a parlor when people have gotten tattoos. I've thought about getting a tattoo. I just have never actually gone through it. I'm not anti-tattoo by any stretch of the imagination. But if this is something that would put you at ease, if you're going to get a tattoo, but you're like, man, I'm scared of needles. I don't know that I could do the pain. I understand if it can be regulated by and overseen by a licensed anesthesiologist, I have no issues with that whatsoever.
I'm not saying that if it's done properly, that I would necessarily have an issue with it. That's not the point that I'm bringing up. What I'm saying is in life there are processes. What about this is the process of getting a tattoo? Anesthesia's never been a part of the process of getting a tattoo.
No.
It just comes across as weird that you would go to sleep for something like that.
But it does. But at the same time, if it's not something that has been explored, and now, you know, let's say this is something that a couple of shops would implement, and you but find out.
Why do you think it hasn't been explored after all these years of people getting tattoos?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe,
because it's not necessary.
Well, maybe somebody feels that it is necessary. If there's, I don't even know why it would be a talking point if somebody out there didn't think that it was necessary to go under the gas if you're going to get a tattoo.
Actually, my point is the opposite of your point. My point is if you're not tough enough to get the tattoo, then maybe you aren't tattoo worthy.
But at the same time, if you want something that is going to be a remembrance of a family member or an event in your life or your favorite sports team or whatever the reason is that you want to get a tattoo, but you're like, man, I'd love to be able to do this, but I just can't. I can't handle the needles. I can't handle, you know, because, I mean, there are parts of your body that are probably a little more sensitive when it comes to, you know, needles and piercings and whatnot. If you want it.
It means that much to you that you got to get that tattoo, but you don't want that pain that comes with the tattoo. So let me just go to sleep.
Yeah. I don't have any, you know, for the soft people out there, I'm with you. Soft people unite. Yes.
Thousands of dollars for the anesthesia.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if this.
Let me ask you, if you were going to get a tattoo and they gave you the option of.
No, I'm not into tattoos. I'm never getting a tattoo.
No, hypothetically, if you're like, hey, I'm going to get a tattoo. And they're like, okay, you can either be fully conscious for it or we can give you some, you know, a little night-night gas,
Chris,
and you can wake up and it's done.
How was this a hypothetical when I said I'm not into tattoos, I would never get one? How was that a hypothetical?
I'm just trying to throw it at you to see what you would think. So
I just told you I wouldn't. I'd be awake for it.
Okay.
But I'm not a tattoo person. Tattoos have never done anything for me. I've never once in my life wanted to get a tattoo, nor do I want one now.
Okay.
But in this crazy hypothetical that you just mentioned, yeah, I would get it the standard way that most other people have gotten a tattoo.
Okay. I don't have any problem with that.
You know you're ready to go get that tattoo on the back of your, you know, small of your back.
Oh, a tramp stamp?
Yeah.
I
know you're ready.
I would totally get a tramp stamp.
I heard you talking about it to Kim one day.
Well, we can have matching tattoos. Yeah, you know, somebody in the text line here. Got a tattoo 50 years ago. It was all part of the ritual. The only reason I could think it would all be appropriate would be as if some idiot decided to do a huge tattoo on their back. They wanted it all done all at once instead of in parts. Great show as always. Thanks, Kimber.
I think that's a great way that they view it and look at it. I'm dead serious. Because I do have a lady friend from years ago. She ended up doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a whole body person, whatever, but she got like her whole back done.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oof!"
I mean, it.
And she got it like it was different sessions.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, you see this, and somebody's like, "Oh, what is this? Oh, it's part of a tattoo. It's part of da 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 da." But I got to get the rest of it. Like, to me, it's like if you got half the tattoo and then you change your mind, like, what do you do? Like, you've already committed, right? Like, once you go in, like, I don't know if you're going to get somebody's name and then somehow something happens and you break up, and then you're like, oh. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to change that name? Here's another one. I'm with you, Henry. A tattoo is an option. Anesthesia is a medical concern. What you want, I want. You should get what you want. I want you, get should be two separate items.
Yeah, I just, to me, it just, when we talk about tattoos and just the history of tattoos and the environment and what goes into getting a tattoo, mm-hmm. being awake to me is part of the process. Now, I'm not getting a tattoo, so if anybody out there listening is going to get a tattoo and they're going to get anesthesia and pay extra for it, more power to you. All I'm saying is
you're chicken.
All I'm saying is I view people that get tattoos the normal way of being awake versus those that get anesthesia. I just view them differently.
I don't think anesthesia has been a thing. I don't know
it's
of a
new
place
thing. It's a new thing.
Okay, so they're started. I thought this was something that was just being proposed. I didn't know it was something that was actually like
someone
happening.
In the article, someone died.
Oh, in Brazil. Okay, I was thinking about the U.S., yeah.
Not only that, one of the tattoo people says in here, my concern as a board-certified anesthesiologist, this is not a tattoo person, this is anesthesiologist, is how safe is this when it's happening? If, for example, it were happening in a surgery setting where there were rescue equipment available, mm-hmm. where there was a board-certified anesthesiologist administering the anesthesia, where the patient was being adequately monitored, that's perfectly acceptable.
Yep.
That's not what we're talking about in a tattoo parlor. That's not.
But I just said, if it's being regulated and overseen by an anesthesiologist, I wouldn't have a problem if they have somebody on staff. I would have no problem with that.
I got a question for you.
At all.
Just knowing the topic that we're into.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So just stay with me.
Okay.
This is a topic because what percentage of tattoo parlors in the United States of America have anesthesiologists?
Oh, I'd say like 0.5.
Yeah. So that's the reason why this is a talker. This is the reason why. Because people want to do more of having this. It's not possible to have a whole lot of the anesthesiologists. It's just not. Right now in our country, they're saying with the new administration that there's going to be rollbacks on anesthesiologists during certain surgeries. They're talking about the insurance stuff. And insurances are saying, well, hey, we're not going to be able to administer anesthesia for this part of the surgery. Have you heard that? Because we did a story on that like a month ago.
I don't remember it, but it wouldn't shock me. Because even when I had my colonoscopy about a month ago, I had an anesthesiologist that was like right there. I mean, when I've had all of my surgeries, I've had, you know, and I've been put together more than Humpty Dumpty has. I've always had the anesthesia and had it right there. I think that's great.
And let me say this. I think we're on opposing sides of it. And I'm just going to stand on, even though I don't have a tattoo or anything,
mm-hmm.
I think that there are certain things in society that when you encounter it or you want to partake in it, there's a process. And that there's certain things people look at and say, okay, yeah, you got that done, but you did it the shortcut way. And I think that the anesthesia part of it is viewed by diehard tattoo people as a shortcut.
By being soft?
Well, you're going to say it's a shortcut. There's a lot of things that people will do from one day to the next, and people be like, you know what? I did it. I went through the ritual. I went through the process. And there are other things where you're like, well, no, you actually didn't go through the entire process. You kind of jumped the line.
Hmm.
And I'm not saying that, like, this is jumping the line in that way, right? But it's not the natural process of getting a tattoo.
So let it be known, if you're going to get anesthesia with a tattoo, Lake thinks you're soft and you're a wuss. That's what he's saying.
I mean, you said it. I didn't.
I'm using your words coming out of my mouth. By the way, somebody's like, moving on. Boring. Only morons get tattoos.
Only morons get tattoos.
My wife's got a tattoo.
They called your wife a moron.
They called my wife a moron.
Is that Ted Cruz?
No.
Donald Trump type situation.
This person's gonna. I'm gonna worship this person. If I was Ted Cruz, I'd be like, oh my God, you're my favorite. No, my wife's got a tattoo. That's a little offensive.
651-461-9226. We'll get back to sports because our Timberwolves on the back end of a back-to-back on the struggle bus tonight. We get to that next. I am really interested to see what's going to happen here in the second half. Timberwolves trailing at the break, 60-46. to the Indiana Pacers. Indiana Pacers, right now, playing nobody. So we'll see if the Wolves come back. They probably will, because the Minnesota Timberwolves have won 8 consecutive games. They're hot, hot, hot right now.
They're Buster Poindexter hot, hot, hot.
But, man, when you're playing the Indiana Pacers and they, I mean, no Tyrese Halliburton, no Miles Turner.
Nope. No Pascal Siakam.
You should handle them.
You should.
You should be handling this team. You're down 11 right now. They just tipped it off in the third quarter. They're trailing 62-51. I get it. It's a back-to-back. So I'm not going to sit here and act like them being on the second half of a back-to-back nights doesn't mean anything. But it's the Pacers. It's the Pacers, bro.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, if we're talking about, you know, standings, we can look at, okay, Eastern Conference, Western Conference. I mean, the Pacers are fifth in the Eastern Conference. But you see teams that if one guy is out and then they rule out another one and then they rule three of their starters out for this game, you look, if you're the Wolves, you're like, okay, yeah. Like you said, no Tyrese Halliburton, no Pascal Siakam, no Miles Turner. We're at home. We should win this game. And for them to be down, they were down 14 at half. What do you say? They're down 11 now. I'm not going to say this would be a bad loss.
They're down 9 now. Yep.
I mean, it wouldn't be a bad loss. But when a team is obviously going to ease up with their starters, this is an opportunity. Like, you've got to take advantage of this opportunity. Because the Wolves are, you know, right now neck and neck with Golden State for that 6th seed. And you're 2.5 games behind the Lakers for the 5 seed. And they're playing without LeBron. So to me at this point.
And they've been struggling without LeBron.
Absolutely.
They did win their last game, but they weren't playing anybody.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Wolves have the longest winning streak in the Western Conference. Second longest to Warriors. So you absolutely need to win this game. I think if the Wolves could get to the point where they would avoid the play-in after everything that happened at the beginning of this year and all of the struggles, I think that would be a massive win for this team to avoid the play-in. Because they've been kind of hovering in that, you know, in that 7, 8, 9. I mean, you got to continue to ride this momentum. Because you can't rely on Golden State to struggle. You can't rely on the Lakers to stub their toe. Like, the Wolves have to just keep doing their thing.
You know, something that's also interesting, we talk about the Wolves, and the Wolves will probably come back. Now we have the game over at the XL Energy Center between the Wild and the Kings. They're both knotted at 1 apiece. The Wild fell behind immediately when they dropped the puck.
What?
And so they've gotten the back square.
Didn't see that coming.
But
at the X.
Dude, the Wild are, you talking about struggling?
Yeah.
Like, people are concerned about them making the postseason. This team was so damn good just the first couple months of the season, and it got everybody sucked into, okay, we're legit now. And now people are like, just hold on to a postseason spot.
That's what happens when you lose Kirill Kaprizov and Joel Eriksson-Ek. That's what happens when you lose two top guys, is you've got that pad, that cushion that you built at the beginning of the year.
Even before that, they were slipping.
Oh, they were. But you have to use every last bit of that cushion that you built because, yeah, they are struggling. And like Jesse Pierce from Bar Down Beauties and NHL.com, when you've had her on the show, this is a nice stretch for the Wild at home.
They play terrible at home.
Why do you play awful at the X?
I don't get it. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, it's so puzzling to me.
It defies logic.
It really does. I mean, I looked up when it was like a couple minutes in, and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, the Wild might as well just, when they play games at the X, they might as well just be down 1-0. I think that's just kind of start behind the eight ball. But yeah, I think.
Come on, Wild.
I think they'll make the playoffs. But as for them, I think they're kind of where the Vikings were at, though, with not having money as well because of the Suter and Parisi buyouts. Like, it just, when you've got that money just sitting there, that dead money on the cap, it's just so hard. And I will say this with the Wild, Bill Guerin, I do appreciate the fact that he's willing to go out and make moves. Like, while Bill Guerin is going to go out and he'll wheel and deal to try and make this team better, even if he doesn't have a whole lot of money. And I kind of appreciate that.
All right. 651-461-9226. You know, there's something about just, we all have to deal with change in life. That's a part of life. There's going to be change. But we expect professional athletes to deal with it better than us because of what? We'll get to that next year on the Lake Show. We all have to deal with change in life. But we expect professional athletes to deal with it better than us. Because of what? Money. Money. And I don't think that that's fair. I know that athletes have money. They have access to services. And we look at them in a different way due to their popularity, due to what they do for a living. But you know, the bottom line is they're still human beings. They still have to deal with day-to-day stuff that a lot of us have to deal with too. Now, there's a lot of things that they don't have to deal with as much because they live a different life than us in many ways based on how highly publicized their livelihoods are.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they're still human beings, and they have to deal with change in life just like we have to.
Yep.
They have to pivot and deal with certain things the same way that we do. So I hate when people talk about when somebody gets traded or a person loses their job or something like that, whatever, and they're going to get picked up by a new team or whatever, people just chalk it up to, well, it's nothing. They got a lot of money. They have no worries in the world. It's not like that.
No, you've got...
They're still humans.
Yeah, you've got families. You've got families that have set down roots. You've got families... I mean, kids are in school. And, yeah, okay, is the family going to move? If the family's not going to move, then you have to set up residency and be away from your family. And it's a big adjustment for anybody that needs to go through that. But, I mean, we hear about it at a moment's notice with sometimes with athletes. It's like, boom, so-and-so's gone. It's like, well, what? Well, I mean, that doesn't change the fact that...
And the general public is like, it's no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. Even though they've got to deal with the same personal things in terms of changing things with their life that non-athletes have to.
Exactly. And so Chris Jenkins, if you remember him, he played at Villanova. He was the one that hit the shot. He hit the shot against North Carolina when Villanova won the national championship. That spectacular play that they ran at Villanova, the handoff, he takes three, knocks down the shot. You'll see it a million times here over the course of the NCAA tournament. He was chatting with Michelle Beadle. She does a show on FanDuel Sports Network with Chandler Park. I can't remember his name. Chandler Parsons. Chandler Parsons and also Lou Williams. They do a show on FanDuel Sports Network, and she did bring up to Chris Jenkins, or Chris Jenkins is talking to her about Dante DiVincenzo being traded after one season with the Knicks.
Just real quick on Dante DiVincenzo, because it just felt like it was almost too good to be true. We were actually going to get the entire Knicks team basically be Villanova. We know Jalen and he are our besties. And then he leaves, and it felt like a bad, sad breakup. Like there was still love there, but he had to go. Like how bad was it really?
It wasn't bad. It was tough because Dante, you know, he had just signed a contract, was about to get married. Getting ready to have a kid. So, you know, you kind of feel like this is where you get ready to finish or have the best part of your career and to kind of have that trade happen. It definitely didn't feel good. Some emotions were involved, but, you know, brothers get in fights all the time. As you can see on their podcast, they've spilled a couple of things that have happened in the locker room back in the day. But those are some of the good stories. They kept all the crazy ones to themselves.
Just real.
All right. So. Again. That's the deal there. In Chris Jenkins talking about Dante DiVincenzo, the DiVincenzo is a human. He's a human. And do I think that it's easier on him than the average person? Yes, we get that. But they're still human, and they still have feelings. They still have emotions. They still deal with stuff. And so I don't think that we should ever, ever just look at them and just try to wipe that away from the record. We have to view them for the human beings that they are, and oftentimes we don't give them that type of credit. We don't give them that type of love. We look at them and say, well, they're paid millions of dollars. They should just deal with this, and they should just deal with that. That's not reality.
No, it's not. It's just one of those really difficult situations when you hear about getting married and getting ready to have a child, and then guess what? You gotta up and leave. I mean, it kind of gives you pause if you've got a job like that. Well, can I get married? Should I get married? When should I get married? When should we start a family? There are all of those things that could come into play for professional athletes that maybe, because I know the regular average, you know, Joe and Jill, like, we think about it, but I think because it's very nomadic when you're an athlete. If you're someplace for a few years, I mean, we think of long-term contracts as being 4 or 5 years. Well, you think about it. If you got a kid, that are they going to be in the same school district for 4 or 5 years? Like, that's a big thing to think about when you're going to be a professional athlete.
And I think that most people don't look at it that way. Like, you just brought up an important aspect. Like, think about a kid that is, they started a school, they're in second grade, then now they're a fifth grader, they're with their friends, and then all of a sudden, you know, mom or dad is traded, and they have to deal with whatever. And that's just kind of it's a dynamic that happens in everybody's life,
yeah.
Especially like in corporate America, if you take a job somewhere else. I think that we just don't – the reason why I'm talking about it is because of he brought up Dante DiVincenzo and him coming to Minnesota. I don't think that we give them the grace that they deserve with regards to having to move around like that.
No, absolutely. I think we just look at it as, well, you know what? You're an athlete. You're going to be compensated. You're going to be taken care of. It might be difficult on your family.
We look at it this way because of how much money they make.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah, because they...
That's strictly it.
Yeah. Oh,
there's no other reason. They're famous and they got money.
You know, somebody can do all that moving stuff for you. Somebody can take care of that for you. Yeah, it's not like you're asking your friends, hey, can you come over on Saturday morning, you know, help drive a U-Haul, and then I'll buy you some pizza and beer at the end of the day. Like, that's not happening for those guys.
But what if a wife and kid don't want to live in a hotel until you find a place?
And that's the hard part, right? Like,
because a lot of these guys, when they get involved in these trades and stuff like that, they end up getting housed by the team at a hotel.
Yeah, and that's where the family stays behind, and then the family will join, or maybe the family will stay where they're at. And the athlete stays in a hotel or whatever the team provides for them. And then after the season, you go back and you go back to where your family set up shops. So it's a hard thing. It is a really hard thing. I had to do it before, not being an athlete, but it's very, very hard when you have to be separated from your family. And sometimes those decisions have to be made. And yeah, they're fortunate they've got money, but the emotional toll is still the same.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. We'll take a break, come back, final segment next. Oh, my goodness. I heard something earlier today that I wanted to play for you guys here in a second. But when I think of these, these broadcasters, these analysts on these networks, I do want to give a lot of love to Shannon Sharp. I think that Shannon Sharp is... Well, number one, he's sharp. He's a good. I mean, he's a pretty smart guy, and he does a great job talking about the National Football League. He does get very fanboyish with basketball, like he's a Lakers fan, all that.
Lean into it.
Yeah, but and that's exactly the point. The personality is what you gotta love. I love Shannon Sharp's personality. he at times says things that will really spark debate. Then he'll say things that are just absolutely hilarious. Okay. I'm not in agreement with everything he says, but there's nobody on earth that I agree with 100% of the time. I think of all the analysts on ESPN, the two that I agree with the most are Ryan Clark and Kendrick Perkins. Those would be the two. But Shannon Sharpe is, he's a gem, man. So last week he was, because he's a Lakers fan, he's talking about UFC, KFC, whatever. Lakers in five. Well, they had another hotly contested debate, and he brought out another one.
I expected to hear Shannon Sharpe standing up and going like this. OKC, UFC, KFC, Lakers in five. That's what I expected to hear. But instead, I'm hearing a brother hedging his bet. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah,
but,
that's what
but,
I'm hearing.
I see LeBron that's working out. Hold on. Stephen A., I did not perk. I did not see LeBron working out. Now that I saw the little snippet just before we got this thing and I saw him working out, guess what, Stephen A.? The Thunder, a Boost Mobile bundle, WWE Raw Rumble. Lakers in five.
So, Shannon.
What was that Shannon. One? Shannon. I need that one again.
Oh, that was so good. He's got to keep those up, bro.
Oh, that's
he's got to keep those
that's
going.
That's a bit.
What he say? He said Royal Rumble. What did he say? OKC Thunder,
a Boost Mobile bundle.
WWE
Royal Rumble Lakers at five. Yeah, keep it up, man.
That's entertaining, bro. That's hilarious. That is hilarious.
It is.
There are times where I just can't stand Stephen A. Smith, and then there are times where he just cracks me up. That's the and that's why, like, people will say, oh, I can't stand this guy or that guy, whatever. Yes, there are times where we can't stand people, but sometimes those people entertain us, man, and they make us laugh and chuckle.
I would rather, as with any sort of entertainment, whether it's, you know, these – Get Up, First Take, you know, Undisputed, whatever it is. I want to be entertained. I want to have fun. If I'm watching a movie, or I'm watching a game, or I'm watching wrestling, or, you know, whatever, I want to be able to sit there and have these people entertain me. You know, I want them to be able to just perform and do what they do. Show me your talents as an asset for me as a consumer. And I love it because I think there are so many people, especially when you've got a microphone, that I think maybe it's just kind of like, oh, I can't be outlandish because then people aren't going to take me seriously.
And he's not for everybody.
No, like, he's not.
Not everybody's going to love Shannon Sharpe. Hey, as much as I love Shannon Sharpe, I look at a Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
Pat McAfee's just kind of like, for me.
Yeah,
he's okay. He's different.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that to hate Pat McAfee. What he's doing is working.
I mean, as they say, you know, different strokes for different folks. You know, it's media and entertainment and everything is best when it's like a buffet. You got a little bit of this for you. You got a little bit of this for me. You got a little bit of this for this person. This person likes this. Not everybody has to be the same. Not everybody has to be the same cookie cutter. You know, sometimes as annoying as Pat McAfee can be, and I know he's got the WWE, you know, connections. It's not why I'm, you know, promoting Pat McAfee whatsoever.
Yeah, I can understand that.
One thing that he's done, he's built his brand in a very unique way. I don't necessarily agree with some of the maneuvers that he's made along the way. But there are individuals that sometimes you have to think outside the box. And that's, I feel like Stephen A. has kind of gone a little over the top with it, but he's found his niche. Stephen A. has found his niche. I feel like Shannon Sharpe is finding his niche. Pat McAfee has his niche. And I think to be successful, you have to find your niche, because not everybody is going to do the same thing. You may watch something different than me. We may be watching the same topic, but people are coming at it from a completely different point of view, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish people would do that with other things outside of sports, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, hey, yeah.
Let me mention this real quick, a couple of things. The Wolves now trail by one. The Wolves are one of these, they got to wake up type teams. They're trailing 77-76 with 3:38 left in the third quarter. So good for the Wolves.
About time.
In my email box is an email from the Kansas City Royals. And it says, Royals and FanDuel Sports Network today announced the team's 2025 regular season television schedule, with all 162 games airing regionally or nationally. How many teams does FanDuel have left in Major League Baseball? Because I'm a little bit surprised that they're still trying. I get it that they've restructured the whole bankruptcy thing and all that stuff, whatever, and bankruptcy tends to be a big word in media nowadays. But the bottom line is, I know that the Twins said, no, we're doing something different. But I wonder how many Major League Baseball teams are still trying to do it. And by the way, you know how much it is for the season pass?
Wasn't it like $350 or something for Twins TV?
You said what?
What are you talking about? The Twins?
I'm talking about season pass for, like, if you want to watch the Royals full season.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Well, how much do you think the Twins is?
I think the Twins TV, I think that's like $350.
No, it's $99.
I'm thinking about the Twins Pass where go to all the home games. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, I was
thinking about the Twins Pass that you can go to all the home games.
And just walk around and all that.
Yeah, just walk around. Yeah.
So $99 for Twins TV. This FanDuel Sports setup, I guess, is $99 for the year. I guess the only way that you go about it, is kind of viewing it as maybe they're just not set up as an organization to do it themselves.
Yeah, maybe that's because
I'm just curious about it.
Yeah, well, and I was looking right now. Looks like you got the Tigers, the Marlins, Royals, Cardinals, Reds, Angels, Braves, Rays, Angels. I think I said those, and the Brewers. So 10 teams. 10 teams are still with FanDuel.
Interesting. That's interesting. All right, that's going to wrap up tonight's show. I am off tomorrow. In for me tomorrow night, I think, is Matthew Collar.
And you know what's going to happen? It's going to be that damn Rodgers news going to break.
Perfect then. Matthew will break it down.
Yeah, I really don't want it to happen.
I don't want it to happen, nor do I think it's going to happen.
I hope so. I hope not.
Matthew Collar, in for me. I'm back with you guys on Wednesday. And then I'm out again Thursday, Friday, the rest of the week. We'll talk a little bit more March Madness on Wednesday for sure. Talk to you then.